A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with Jesus. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil, made from genuine aromatic nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning with Palm Sunday, we enter into one of the most sacred, powerful, and emotionally charged rememberings of the Christian world. We call it Holy Week. To understand the full meaning of the days ahead, it is necessary to remember the years that led up to them. Holy Week is the culmination of Jesus' lifelong commitment to God. God announced through the prophet Isaiah, "My servant, my chosen one, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. I set you as a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness." Jesus, the compassion of God, healed the sick, made the lame walk, opened the eyes of the blind, unblocked the ears of the deaf, embraced the poor and outcast, liberated the oppressed, and freed the prisoners. The consequences to Jesus for faithfully fulfilling his divine mission are about to unfold. As Jesus heads to Jerusalem 6 days before Passover, he arrives in Bethany for dinner with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. We can only imagine the profound joy of this reunion as they recall the day Jesus called forth Lazarus from the bondage of death itself. The amazement of all who were present continued to spread and to be shared among the people. Everyone wanted to see this Jesus. And the chief priests became ever more fearful. Even as Jesus is surrounded by those who love him, there are signs that all is not well. Mary pours out her heart and love as she anoints Jesus' feet with precious oil. Judas's scolding of Mary for wasting costly perfume elicits a strong defense from Jesus himself. Did Mary sense what lay ahead? Had she heard the rumors that the chief priests were plotting to kill Jesus and Lazarus? Everyone knew that the Roman emperor and local Roman authorities relied on the chief priests and religious leaders to keep their people in line with Rome, a task for which the religious leaders were highly rewarded. What would become of them if Caesar got wind that some of the Jewish people were following a new king? Gripped by fear, their lusting for Jesus' arrest consumed them. The reality of this scene came home to me in a powerful way many years ago when I and two other Dominican companions traveled to El Salvador. We had the opportunity to spend time with a small community of women who had made vows to Archbishop Oscar Romero to serve the needs of their people. One of the sisters had been assassinated, and another went into hiding because of death threats stemming from her work with the peasants. It was the duty of the Salvadoran military and death squads, supported by the United States government, to keep the radical message these women preached from spreading and disturbing the empire's wealthy and powerful elite. In this moment, I finally understood what God Jesus killed. These Salvadoran women, like their mentor, Archbishop Romero, preached and practiced the gospel. They told their people, God loves and reverences every one of you, for you are his children. The suffering and grinding poverty under which you live are not of God. God seeks rather to heal you than to set you free. Jesus came to bring life, abundant life. The kingdom of God is now. These women, like Archbishop Romero, knew that continuing to speak and act out of the gospel might get them killed. And they continued to preach anyway. Jesus must have known what was ahead for him. Yet he remained faithful to the truth that he knew inside of himself, the very Spirit of God that had guided him every step of his life. As we follow Jesus from Bethany to Jerusalem this week, we might ask ourselves a few questions. Is there a situation in my life that I need to face more honestly? Have I, like the chief priests, made a deal, consciously or unconsciously, that compromises my own integrity in order to protect my own interests, to keep myself safe, or to maintain the status quo because something I want might change, even though it's not good for everyone involved? These are challenging questions. And we have been given the gift of Lent as the time to face challenging questions. We pray for each other this week as we look into our own hearts and souls and reflect on the integrity and authenticity with which we live, with which we proclaim the gospel without compromise. Amen.